not everybody's going to be fast, and not everybody's going to be able to do, ultra stuff or 100 miles, or maybe they don't want to, and that's okay. But everybody has like a potential that they can reach, and I want people to know that, like, oftentimes that potential is bigger than what they think they can even do.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome back. My guest this week is Randy Taylor. Randy is a member of a group that I run with on Thursdays, and we have met on the trail. He is a running coach, has a coaching service called Running for the Brave. We get into that conversation about what it means to be brave as an ultramarathon runner, as well as how he got his start. Hope you enjoy it. Here's my conversation with Randy Taylor. How did you get started running, Randy?
Yeah, so funny story about how I got started running is that so I was a wrestler in high school and college, and so I didn't really have any like formal running training at that time, and but I always ran a lot because of this, the sport just requires you to run quite a bit. And then after I stopped wrestling, I didn't do much. I kind of had always been an athlete, and then there was a period of time where I just kind of fell out of doing anything physical. I was working a lot, but I didn't have like a regular sport. And my wife and I, we did a ton of like hiking and climbing, rock climbing and stuff like that. And so when I was about 34, it was about halfway through my 30, I was about 34 and a half, and I talked to my wife, and I was like, "Hey, I need something. I need a goal. I need something to do." And I was like, "What's something that would be like a big, adventure, a big goal to do? Maybe something I've always said I would do that I haven't done yet." Kind of thinking she would mention some sort of big climb we'd mentioned, or something like that. And she really quickly was like, "Oh, you always said you'd run a marathon, and you haven't ever done it." And that was like the last thing I wanted her to say. It's just the thought of like having to do that. But I thought about it for a couple of days, and I kind of knew she was right. And honestly, with where I was at, kind of coming up on being, turning 35, and I just needed a goal to like create some structure and discipline, and I knew that, like, running, especially, to run a marathon, you got to have that. And so I knew enough about it to know that. So really, that's how I got started into running, and I essentially went from zero. I was like, looked up some different marathons, and Kansas City Marathon was like 3 months away, so I just signed up for it, like knowing.
3 months. That's pushing it. I mean, most runners will say, yeah, that's not a good thing to do.
No, and it wasn't a good thing to do. So that was about, let's see, that was probably about 5.5 years ago. And so, yeah, I basically downloaded a plan off the internet. Went to the running store here in Westport and bought some shoes, and then just trained, and followed the plan to the T. But I almost broke myself in the process, because that's a lot to throw on your body,
So is there actually a running plan to like run a marathon in 3 months? I mean,
I don't,
I would think
you're
that
you're supposed to have a little bit of a base there.
Oh, okay. So the plan was written for somebody who's been running and they were maybe between races and had had a time of recovery.
Yeah, sure. And I probably lobbed off the front half of it or something anyway, but so ultimately ran that first marathon, and to this day, it's probably one of the most painful experiences I've had running, but it, the most important thing was it got me connected. During that time, I really did, I met some road runners and some trail people that I just really enjoyed and got connected in the community. And I kind of thought that shorter trail races was what I wanted to do, like 10 mile, half marathon distance. Thought that's what I wanted to do. Just kept, after that first marathon, just kind of doing what I thought people did, which was take a lot of rest, and then that's totally fine for a lot of people, and kind of getting back into it and easing back in. But I've always been super competitive and with myself as well as others, but mostly with myself. And so I just kind of the lure of trying to, see how fast I could possibly go, knowing that I wasn't like maybe the ideal. I don't think I have like natural gifting for, say, the marathon distance, or for sure not the half marathon distance, but just the thought of like, hey, I can take something here and, push myself to the limit and see what I can do, intrigued me a lot, and knowing I couldn't do it overnight, it had to be over years,
Over years. It's, yeah. Yeah. So when you were that first marathon, you said you hadn't hurt like that for a long time. So what was going through your mind? Was you, when you were like at, 16 miles or so, you're about at that two thirds of the way through, what were the things that were you telling yourself when you were there?
Yeah. Fortunately at that time I was, so all along not knowing anything about running, I just decided I was going to try and run a 3:30 marathon, and, basing that off of, I don't know what I based it on.
Sounded like a good number, huh?
Like a good number. It was like, it's kind of fast, but not crazy fast, but like, maybe we can do this. So I was with the pace group, so ultimately probably around that 16 to 18 mile, mark, some people had started to kind of drop off, and the pacer just handed me the pace stick and was like, hey, you gotta like keep rolling these guys.
So the pacer dropped off too?
No, he had dropped back just to try and keep half of our crew,
Okay. Going. So he was trying to encourage the people who were going to drop back to a slower pace.
Yeah. And so, I think that really helped me at the time, because I would have probably, I was a mile away from dropping off myself, but I think when it comes to like the pain and the, just the thing, I don't know. There's, I think it was, a thing there where like and even to this day, I have the mindset that like I've done some sacrifice, but like, even my wife and my kids and all this kind of stuff have like sacrificed a lot for me to be able to do it. And I think even for that first race, I carried that with me. So it's like, in my mind, I'm like, I can hurt for another hour, and push it to the limit, to be able to just kind of honor that time and that, that effort that they've given to me as well.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, so I think that helps me through the pain a ton. And you know, but again, as that that first race, like, I don't know. I don't know where my mind was, other than just seeing people. I mean, just being super inspired by seeing all the different people you see at the races struggling together and achieving. You know, it's like, you know, they're either achieving a distance or they're achieving a time goal or whatever the case may be. But super inspiring, and it just kind of carries you through. So
yeah. So you said you were going to try shorter trail distances. So what happened when you started running? So did you run more road marathons, or did you kind of get the kind of like drift into running trails right after?
Yeah. So what happened there is, I thought I was going to, you know, I love the trail and I love like, that world, but ultimately what happened is my kids were still pretty young. I mean, they're still fairly young, but at that time they were, you know, quite a bit younger, and like they weren't old enough to where they could stay home by themselves or anything like that at that point. And so my training time, either had to be super early or super late or random, like weird times. And it was way more, tight. And so I learned very quickly. I live in the city as well. So like to drive out, you know, to do a 30-minute or 45-minute drive to a lot of the trails, was just another hour, you know, if you're talking round trip, that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. I was scraping by to find the training time anyway. And so, so as I started training more and wanted to be on trail, I just learned that at that time, I wasn't going to be able to train the way I wanted to train, on trail as much as I wanted to be on trail. And so I kind of just said, okay, for the next year or two, I'm going to just dedicate to getting as fast as at the marathon as I can, because I can do all my training just right out the front door. Mm-hmm. I can do it any time of day. And so even though that wasn't really my number one choice or whatever, I knew it would pay off like later on. I was kind of mm-hmm. like at the time, like at some point I'll be able to have the time I want to get on trail and do some of this stuff. And so, yeah, so really like 2018, 2019, those years, I just dedicated to getting as fast as I could at the marathon and see what I can do, and, you know, and knowing that would pay off having that base going into trail stuff. Still thinking, I think at the time I would want to do more shorter stuff, but, didn't really know what was to come, you know, later on. So.
Yeah. So did you do any short trail races, or did you?
Yeah, I would do. So I think that's the other thing, is that at the time, in those first few years, I would, you know, I was racing like maybe two marathons a year, kind of a spring and fall, with a fall one being, you know, kind of a race for the year. But in the off season, where most people that are doing marathons are resting, I'd go out and run like, you know, trail races at Waco. And, you know, I'd do like the Alt Chili Run, which is a 10 mile, you know, hard 10 mile race, and kind of got into some of that stuff, 10 and 20 mile races. And so I was doing those in between, you know, in between my marathons, which mm-hmm. were kind of the goals I was training for. So not doing a ton of trail specific training at the time, but like, but yeah, definitely getting out there and learning what it takes to race on trail. So
yeah. And that's not, it's not really a real hard transition to go between your road running and trail running. You know, if you've trained as a road runner and go off on trail, and there's, you know, rocks and roots, you have to pay more attention, have to kind of know that your pace is going to be slower than it was on the road. But yeah, it's not as far apart as what, I mean, especially if you're a good road runner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, learning the terrain and it takes a little while, but it didn't take forever. And yeah, like you said, you just got to learn to slow down a little bit. But yeah, it, you can do a lot going back and forth both ways, from trail to road, for sure.
Yeah, that makes a difference. So when did you decide that, well, these shorter races on trail are too easy, or do you look for a bigger challenge? Was that kind of what?
I think when it comes to distance, I don't put any distance over, say an ultra, like a 50 mile or 100 mile, as like a bigger challenge necessarily than, even a 5K, depending on what kind of speed you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, the thought of me going out and racing a hard 5K sometimes sounds worse than a 50 mile race, but, so it all is difficult, or as difficult as you want it to be in its own right. But I think as I learned more, got faster at the marathon, and learned more about what I was actually good at and kind of what it's like, okay, I'm not, my mile time is never going to be super fast. My 5K time is never going to be super fast. But so trying to look at like, what is it that I am good at, and what is it that like naturally I have that would help me be competitive in any, what realm of racing we're talking about, like would I be able to become the best at? And that played a lot into how I ended up shifting into ultra running. Because I just learned that like my body recovers well. I can run more miles than most, and be okay. Mm-hmm. I can eat anything, and I can roll off of like gels for long periods of time, which a lot of people end up with, like, just as I was getting into it, I'm hearing all these like horror stories of people that are having GI problems, and like it's really difficult for them to fuel for a 50 mile or 100K race, and I'm over here just eating whatever I want anytime.
Like, so you could eat both solid food and gels. Your body was, it was kind of like, didn't matter which.
I can just do it all. So that was a plus for ultra stuff, obviously.
Yes. That's a superpower almost for ultra running.
And then, just learning that, like, just naturally, like I run with a really high cadence. I run like, my form and the style of running I have is like just aids into ultra stuff pretty well. So, it's not things like, oh, my VO2 max is like super high or something, it's not like a metric like that. Mm-hmm. It's all these like, things that, for sure, like 5K or half marathon guys don't care about. They don't care about how many gels they can put in their body, but it is important for ultra running. And so as I learned some of those things, and I just learned that like, I am just pretty tough, and like I just won't quit, which is a huge requirement, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into those super long, over 50 mile races, you got to be able to like have control of your mind and be able to, even in the lowest of lows, be able to turn it around and figure out how to, reset and readjust and keep rolling. And so, when I really like looked at that, I was like, okay, as much as I kind of don't want to do like the 100 mile distance, I think I'm just uniquely like suited to do well at that mm-hmm. distance, as more than any other event, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm. So what was your first, have you run 100 mile?
Yeah. So really my plan was, kind of my longer term plan essentially was like, so I ran Chicago 2019, and then my goal was to and I ran really well at that marathon. And then I was gonna go run Boston because like you can't really run road marathons and not want to run Boston.
Yeah, that's kind of a given. If you've got, there's a lot of people who are still trying, to get that to get that ticket, to get that time to qualify.
For sure. And so my plan was to go out and run Boston 2020, and I trained super hard over the winter. I wanted to go out just in my competitiveness. I was like, I'd love it to like kind of retire from the road marathon for a bit with a PR at Boston.
Yeah, that sounds like a great ambition to do.
And so I so I trained that way, trained super hard, and then obviously with COVID, COVID came along and kind of ruined that plan a little bit. And so essentially the day that Boston was canceled, I knew I put a ton of miles in, ton of hard work in for the winter, and I just immediately switched gears and said, okay, I'm gonna run. I was like, I don't know what is gonna happen with races with COVID, but I'll run a 100-mile race if one comes up, but if not, I'm gonna run 100 miles either way. And so in March of 2020 is when I would say I officially like switched. And even though I had done some, by that point I had done a 50 miler and some 50 Ks and that kind of thing, but I'd never trained specifically like for those ultra distances. I was still training for marathons and then squeezing those in between the marathons. But I wanted to, the training's just a little bit different. And so decided when Boston was canceled, I would just train specifically for a 100 miler for that fall. And ended up I ended up running Javelina down in Arizona
Last year.
last year. As my first
That
100
was one of the few 100 milers that was still held, if I
mile.
remember right.
So Air Vipa just did a great job of putting together COVID like plans and all of that. Unfortunately, the race itself changed a ton. They spread out the start over 3 days. There was less runners, all that kind of stuff. So my first 100 miler was, I mean, I ran with a guy for about 10 miles and then ran solo for 90 miles and didn't see anybody, but
Well, yeah, and Javelina is one that is kind of designed for you to have interaction with other runners, just because of the way they run it, the way that they alternate the routes. So did they not do what they call the washing machine? You ran the same direction the whole time?
Same direction the whole time. There was probably, I don't know, maybe 150 people out on course, but when you spread that over a 20 mile loop, you
Yeah,
don't
you'd be by yourself a
see.
lot.
So that was my first 100 mile race, and did really well, kind of better than expected. And that's kind of where, I've just been, this whole year has been geared towards, I'm running Javelina again this year, but hopefully they can do it the, back to the original non-COVID style, hopefully. But my whole year, all the racing I've done this year is designed towards, building towards that 100 mile and just doing everything towards that. So
So have you done some trail races this year? Some
yeah, so I started off just to change things up over the winter time. I did some more technical trail and kind of more climbing, hilly stuff. So ran a ton out of at Wyco, and so I ran Ozark Foothills 50 miler in March,
Okay.
early March. That was like, I think it has somewhere, I don't know, 9 or 10,000 feet of elevation, and it's pretty technical. It also rained the whole time, so that,
Yeah, we had a lot of rain this year. It's been
yeah,
raining.
it rained like 3 days leading up to the race, and then it rained the whole day of the race. So time maybe wasn't as good as I had hoped, but I did well at the race. I ended up winning the race, but it so that was really just to kind of change gears and build some strength in there and kind of have my mind off of the flatter, faster stuff. And then I did a gravel 50K in July. That's just, it's out in Kansas. It's hot. It's fast. I mean, I wanted to
Was that
go fast.
the Heartland, the one in Manhattan, Kansas?
No, this is called it's called Walnut River Gravel Run.
Okay.
It's closer to Wichita, and it's on gravel farm road, so it's even worse because it's like chunky gravel, chunky farm road. Farm dogs are chasing you around, and
That's
all that.
50 miles at the Pumpkin Holler is that way. It's all gravel. There's about 5 miles of asphalt. And dogs and
Keep it interesting. So I went out and ran that, ran really well. Got a 50K PR. But mostly was, just trying to learn how to stay cool in the heat. But that's in, it was July, mid-July. Super humid, really hot. And then the next thing on the docket is I'm running a 50 miler on the Katy Trail. They call it the Katy 50-50. And
Is that also a
that's
mountain bike, a bicycle, as well as running?
no, it, they have a 50K or a 50
Oh,
mile.
50 mile. Okay.
That's why they call it 50-50. But yeah, so the goal there is really just to fine-tune kind of aid station, and it'll be a little flatter than Javelina, but yeah, to fine-tune kind of aid station and cooling and nutrition for Javelina. And so I'll do a effectively it'll be a 50 mile long run for me. I'm not really tapering for it, and I'll be right back into training the next week. So I've never done that before, so we'll see how that goes. But
Yeah, and can you do that? Because if you get into a race situation, it's real easy to forget what you're there for and get competitive and take off and run too fast. I mean, that happens to people at the start line. They will go out, a 100 mile, they'll go out with the leaders and end up, 20 miles later, not able to run very fast.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll see. On to be honest, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I think my what I mean, I've been running really big weekends for quite a while now, and I'll put up like this last weekend I ran a full 50K training run, and then like a 17 or 18 miler the next day with some speed stuff worked in. And so I'm hoping that, with these back-to-back long runs, I've built up enough to where I can do a full 50 miles like fairly fast. The goal would be not 100%, not to go out and race it necessarily, but back it off a little bit and but still go decently fast, and hopefully my body will, hold up through kind of the training. So
Yeah, and the Katy Trail is a rail to trail, so it's there's the inclines are, I think, maximum 3% grade.
Yeah, it's pretty flat. Yeah.
It's pretty flat. Although I've ridden a bicycle on Katy Trail, and 3% grade doesn't sound like much, but it goes forever. And so
you can have really long gradual inclines for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just, you don't seem really aware of it, but it does kind of pull on your body and your performance. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I know you're also a running coach, if I remember right. I looked at your, and you have your website says Running for the Brave. So, what is your work like that? And where did the Running for the Brave come from?
So I think, really just part of my story and, kind of what I, have, hold close to my heart, I guess, is that there's a lot of people, let me see. I would put it this way, is that I think there's a lot of people that have goals or have things they want to pursue or have whether it's an adventure or maybe they just want to lose some weight or maybe they want to go run a marathon or want to run an ultra or something like that. But are really hesitant to make, the leap to go from from not doing it to doing it. Mm-hmm. And to me, that leap is is bravery, is if you're going to put a stake in the ground and say I'm doing this thing, it takes a huge amount of guts to make that first step. For me, it was just getting off the couch and doing that first marathon was a massive thing. And so my goal as a coach, and as just an athlete and a friend to as many people as I can be, is to inspire people to take that first step, to take that first, whatever the thing is. I don't feel like everybody should have a running goal or should run, but if it is running, I want to coach the people that are ready to take that first step and to get out there and maybe you just don't. It's that's the part that you can't, as a friend or as a coach, you can't make somebody do that part. And so, so that's why it's Running for the Brave is an important thing, because I want to coach people that are at that point. You don't have to have any skill. You don't have to know how to run or know how to do the thing. You got to be ready to do it though. Part of my own kind of training and coaching philosophy is that, not everybody's going to be fast and not everybody's going to be able to do, ultra stuff or 100 miles or maybe they don't want to, and that's okay. But everybody has a potential that they can reach, and I want people to know that oftentimes that potential is bigger than what they think they can even do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process to learn, what I thought I could do day one is way less than what I think I can do now. And so, so I want to help people continue to reevaluate as they go on their journey, but also, to kind of be okay to risk and I wouldn't have ran as fast a marathons as I ran if I kind of listened to everybody along the way of what they thought I could do or just some sort of training plan or something like that. I was willing to risk completely blowing up and failing. And I was okay with that, because what I wanted to do is see what I was ultimately capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with our goals and with our own evaluation of our capacities and dreams and that kind of thing, I just want to inspire people to be able to, continue to go bigger and bigger and bigger and pursue stuff that's way bigger than what they thought they could. And that takes to me a lot of bravery to think that way. Mm-hmm. And to step into something big like that. So that's kind of why that saying just continues to like stick out to me, and both in my running journey, but also, you know, with the athletes that I want to work with and coach. So,
So the resistance that's there, you know, it takes bravery, and you know, you've taken that step. You know, you were one who said, you know, I'm going to go into it. Even if I fail, I want to test and see what I've got. And I think for a lot of us who are ultra runners and have experienced, you know, both the success and challenge of going, you know, of putting ourselves out and trying to do something more than what, you know, normal people and, you know, people who watch us say that they're the sane ones and that we're kind of crazy for trying, right, for wanting to find out what our limits are. So what are some, maybe more than one thing that, you know, the people who haven't, you know, they know they need to be brave. What are the things that kind of keep them from taking that first step?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it, I think that bravery is like, I mean, I do think it's something that everybody can have, you know, that mindset is something that everybody can have. I don't think some people have it and some people don't, but I do think that there's a level at which, that is really counterculture. That's why, you know, ultra runners get called crazy so much. It's this like kind of fed upness of like just being comfortable all the time and that kind of stuff, as well as like, you know, a desire to like pursue a goal, that maybe doesn't make it, you know, it's like, I don't make money running, you know, I spend so much time, I don't make money running or doing anything like that. So it's like, it's not about like these like kind of worldly pursuits. It's about something else. It's about me, figuring out who I am and what I'm capable of. And I think that a combination of like, being okay with like not being comfortable and wanting to know who you are and being willing to like step out and say, I don't know what this like black hole looks like, but I'm willing to step out. I think anybody can get there. You know, and it's in a lot of ways due to my family history and stuff like that. I'm very close to like a lot of people that are recovering addicts and stuff like that. And there's a reason I think that, you find so many people that are really, great ultra runners who are recovering addicts, because it's like all these same things get to a point where it's like, hey, I'm like fed up with just going through the motions and like just doing the same thing. And I need something to like, go towards, and something that's going to teach me like who I am and, you know, and that kind of thing. And so I think that's like certain parts that can get somebody, you know, to that point, I guess, you know.
And I think that I was trying to remember, you know, me as a kid, and I think children, you know, at some point, the idea of dreaming and the idea of, you know, wanting to be a superhero, you know, they're that to see what we've got is, I don't know if it's completely universal. I think there are some kids who are kind of just born, you know, that they're, you know, their temperament is not to push. They're more comfortable to settle back. But I think there's, in most of us who are, you know, most humans, we have that something inside of us that wants to see what's more, see what's over the horizon. And so that's something that, I know that's a passion for me as well, to help inspire people to say, you know, you don't know what you're capable of, and that,
And I think like the other thing that I tell people all the time that attracts me to running, is that as I became an adult and you get a job, you get in out and you kind of grow and live in the adult life. I just felt there was very few places in my life where I couldn't like just fake my way through life. I could get at work, I could fake it, whatever, in certain relationships and certain things, and you get kind of disoriented to a degree. At least I did, and I was like, man, like running for me was like the one re like super honest place for me where like you can't fake it. Like you can't go out and run a fast marathon or run a fast 100-mile race by faking it. You either did the training or you didn't do the training. You either put in the time or not. And that to me, was there was just a lot of attraction to that like it was a place where I could really determine, am I disciplined? Am I a hard worker? Am I like all these certain things that I would always say I was, but like was I really like or was I just saying that? Was I kind of faking that? Was I, floating through life with this idea of what I thought I was, but I wasn't really living it out. And it's a place for me to go, now I either have to do this or, almost quit living this lie. And so that's what I'm chasing,
And that's common for a lot of people, that, I went through a time of that as well. I mean, what we think of ourselves and who we are really usually are, there's some amount of gap, and we tend to think that we're better than we are, and running ultra marathons really does reveal. I was talking to a guy who said it just kind of peels back the layers of all of those things that we build around ourselves and our self-image, peels back the layers, and the people who are running with us, who are at the aid stations, or they get to see us when we have those times when we sit down and cry, or the things that we say, in the middle of the night when you're that's thankfully our friends are forgiving, because some of the so do you run have you run with pacers, or were you solo?
Yeah, so my only yeah Javelina last year we could only have one person attend the race with us, and so that could either be crew for the first few laps and then could pace you. They did allow pacers on course, but it had to be the same person. So I decided I would much rather have my wife there crewing me, because it's five laps, and so I would see her, five times basically. And I just decided that instead of taking a friend of mine that, could maybe do both crew at the beginning and then pace at the end, I wanted my wife there. And so, yeah, so I ran no pacer, just solo. Yeah. So, but she definitely, especially I think on that 80-mile mark, when I came in after lap four and was trying to get ready for lap five, was, that deepened our relationship a little bit, I think, just like you said, it's just, yeah, there is no, you're just stripped so bare, in every way. And so, yeah, it is an exposing sport for sure.
So you think the 100 mile will be your distance? Or you had any thoughts about going farther? I know they just right now they are just finishing up the Bigfoot 200. I see pictures of that, and it's like, I kind of like, could I?
I think for the same reason that I thought I would never do 100, is the marker that keeps me from really dreaming too much about. I mean, Bigfoot or Tahoe would be like epic races because those are just so scenic and amazing, beautiful country. But I remember when I ran my first 50K, I was like, there's no way I'm running anything longer than this, because I didn't want to necessarily, not because I think it's wrong. I think doing like a walk jog thing is totally, totally fine for the sport and for, you know, anybody that's there, because man, just pushing your body that far, no matter what way, is a feat in and of itself. But for me personally, I didn't want to go any distance that I didn't feel like I could just fully run the whole distance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's just like what I was into. And so I thought I'd never go past a 50K. And then it was like, well, these other guys are running a full 50 miles. Like, I don't know, maybe I can run a full 50 miles. And then, you know, it's like, as I learn more about the sport and meet more people, you know, it's like, man, like these guys over here are running the full 100 miles. Like they're just running it like all out. And so slowly I got sucked into that. I'm like, well, maybe I can run a full 100 miles. I don't know. And so, but I don't think I could run a full 200.
I think running for a full 200 miles would be, I mean, I think even the elite athletes don't run.
Yeah.
Well, and most of the elite athletes don't run the full 100 either. I see the pictures of them when they're going uphill, and they're power hiking. And so,
yeah. Now, no doubt, like, you know, in the more mountainous, you know, tougher courses, yeah, even the top guys are still doing some power hiking and stuff like that. But on a course like Javelina, there's a lot of guys that can run a full 100. I mean, I don't say there's not a lot, but
there are people who do run the entire time. They run the entire time. Yeah. Yeah. And I can see that on some of the other races, I can think of that are tend to be flatter. And I wouldn't consider Javelina flat, but yeah, it's the hills. It's definitely not a mountain race. It's
correct. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think for that reason, I'm not dreaming at all about the 200 milers, but you know, I'm not opposed to Eric, I'm sure like there's part of this, you know, you've experienced where I've learned getting into ultra stuff that if there's something that I think is super terrible and like I would never do that, that's probably the next thing I'm somehow going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Most ultra runners say, well, that sounds like a bad idea. When do we sign up?
Yeah. And so like, I think there are, some events that I could see myself getting into at some point that would push me over the 100 mile mark. So like, you know, say like a timed 24 hour, like track event or something mm-hmm. like that, would be a space for something like that. Or I don't know, the whole like Biggs Backyard Ultra format, is not it like takes away like the speed aspect for me, but there is like the mental aspect that I'm super intrigued by, and mm-hmm. to maybe someday give that a shot. Hopefully, you know, push beyond the
yeah. And that's a whole different strategy as well. I mean, you could still run the entire thing, but you'd have 20 minutes when you're stopped.
So I don't know. I think you know, there could be a day where I do something bigger, but right now, you know, there's so many different 100 milers and so much to learn about the sport and so much to like, it takes so long to develop your body, in that way that like, I'm content to, explore that for the foreseeable future and just see what I can do at that mm-hmm. distance. So,
and the thing I like about, especially the trail running community is that there's really not any social pressure. I mean, unless it's put on by yourself. I mean, there's not an expectation among trail runners that, well, you should run farther than a marathon. You should run farther than 10 miles. That if you're out there trail running, find your distance that makes you happy and run that. Yeah. There's people, several of my pacers said, they don't have any desire to run any more than about 20, 25 miles. And that's far enough. And I was like, I was happy to have them pace me. I like the longer distance. Well, I like the longer distances because my pace is a lot slower. And so my goal is to finish. And, the longer distances suit me.
And I think, you know, there's a big part of that too, kind of what you said is like, you know, finding what makes you happy and what it is about the sport that you want to do. I don't think, by no means do I think everybody needs to get into the sport and go as hard as they can and try and go as fast as they possibly can. Obviously there's a huge number of people that have gotten into the sport of running just for the social aspect of it. And I think that's amazing that, like, you know, you can meet people and do something physical, get out, explore, you know, the outdoors and have a good time. And, so I think it's important to know, I think it's really important to just reflect inward and say, what is it that I want to do? You know, do I want it to be pursuing that, or do I want to be pursuing this other thing? And be honest with yourself. And if you want to pursue, you know, pushing your limits, like, I encourage people to do that, you know. But if you want to just say, hey, I'm totally okay with, like, you know, doing a 5 mile loop and then hanging out for a couple hours with these friends, like, man, that's amazing. Like, find what it is that makes you happy and pursue that, you know. I see a lot of people that get stuck in different circles and are kind of unhappy with it because they're not really where they want to be, you know?
Well, and part of that also is learning how to be happy, be satisfied with who you are.
Sure.
And I know that some people pursue running and, you know, that becomes almost an identity, and especially shows up if they get injured. If, you know, if I can't run, who am I? And so having your identity someplace that's secure and that you run because of your identity, not for your identity. That's a trap that could, you know, many people could easily fall into.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, how can people get a hold of you? They hear this and if they wanted to touch base with you or even work with you, give us a contact information for you.
So, there's a couple ways. Easily find me on Facebook, Randy Taylor. The Instagram is RWT_ultra. Both of those have all my contact info on there as well. You could also, the website is coachingforthebrave.com. So you could go there and fill out if you're interested in coaching or just want to connect. There's like a contact form there. Those are probably the easiest ways. So, and I also am the, for Kansas City people, I'm the president of the 816 Run Club as well. And so we meet on Saturday mornings in Westport. And so any of the 816 connections, I also get those. So if people are familiar with that, they can connect through there as well.
Okay. So the 816 Run Club, I know I live on the edge of the metro. So I think I saw, one day I was down in Westport and saw you guys gathering. So is it for all paces? If someone hears, is someone from Kansas City wants to be part of that?
Yeah. So that was birthed kind of out of, Run 816 was a local running store, had a huge community and following, and they closed down for a few reasons, but kind of fortunately decided to close. I think they officially closed the doors like January of 2020. So right before COVID. Right before COVID, which, you know, obviously had nothing to do with COVID, but if you're going to close a small retail shop, that was the time to do it. But there was a big running community that met right in the heart of the city. So me and the owners of the shop and a couple other people got together and we're like, how can we just keep a running community together? And so we formed a nonprofit running club called it 816 Run Club, just to kind of nod to the 816, or, you know, Run 816 and that community. And obviously COVID like kind of messed that up a little bit, you know, made it to where we couldn't even meet for a while. Right there at the beginning. And then I think officially we started meeting again, like July of 2020. And, so we've been going for just a little bit over a year now as a club. We run on Saturday mornings, meet at 7 a.m. And yeah, it's a very, diverse group of runners, all paces. We do set longer courses that are marked. So oftentimes it'll be, you know, 12 to 18 mile courses that are marked that you can do, but we always mark them back like shorter. So you can go do, you know, a 4 mile run or a 6 mile run, or, you know, whatever distance you want to do as well. And yeah, so we have people doing all paces, all distances, and anybody can show up, you know, to those runs. So.
Okay, well, great. Well, thanks, Randy. I appreciate you taking time to be on the show, and I've enjoyed hearing your stories. It's always good to talk to different runners and what your experiences is and your reasons for running.
Yeah, I appreciate it as well. Glad I could share it.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. I wanted to remind you, our website, ultramindsetpodcast.run. I know it's hard to say, maybe hard to type, but you can find there a place you can leave comments, questions, and stories. And there's a link there. If you click on the comments, questions, and stories, you can go to a link and you can record an audio message. I would love to hear your stories, stories about running. We've talked about sharing poop stories and what's the strangest things you found on the trail. I'm going to be asking for other kind of other topics, but if you have a running story you'd like to share or just comments you'd like to leave, I'd love to hear your voice and hear what you think. Comments about this episode or any, good or bad, would love to hear from you. That is ultramindsetpodcast.run. And you can also find show notes there for this episode as well as others. And the show notes will have links to anything that we've mentioned as far as how to contact each guest in each episode. If you enjoyed this episode and you know somebody who might be interested in hearing it, share the link with them. That helps helps the podcast to grow. And I would surely appreciate that. That's the best compliment you can leave me. Also, remember, I am a mindset coach, and an ultra marathon mindset is more than about just running. If you feel stuck in life, if you'd like to see what coaching might be able to help you accomplish, send me a DM on Instagram. It is at Eric Dieter, or you can use the ultramindsetpodcast.run, leave a voice message or a text there, and I'll get in touch with you. I offer a free 15-minute consultation. If you've got something that you'd like to work on, I can give you some direction and some quick help for free, 15-minute consultation. You can do that. I got a new link. It is ericsbookingpage.com. And there's no apostrophe. It won't let you put an apostrophe in the web link, but it's ericsbookingpage.com. My calendar there is, and you can find a time, book a 15-minute free consultation with me. I'd be glad to help you out and see if I can get you on the road to where you want to be. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.